Giving back to the Berwick area when times are hard has been a generational theme for Elliot Molesky, president of the Hope Center of Nescopeck. The nonprofit was a former lumber yard, but still manages to maintain its original purpose, serving as a place to build up in a slightly different way. Elliot Molesky takes the story from here.
Under our roof, we have a food ministry that gives out food once a month for people who register ahead of time, and a free clothing ministry. And also we have one called the Good Neighbor Project that has medical supplies, and also the Household Essentials Ministry. And that one is something like if you were to have an apartment fire and say you needed anything like tables and chairs down to silverware, whatever we have that people donate, let us know what you need and we'll give you what we have. And then besides that, just newly actually, we revamped one. It's called the Handyman Ministry. So if you're over 65 and in that Berwick School District range there, you can call us and anything you might call a handyman for. You know, your screen door's a little crooked, you have a toilet that won't flush right. Minor home repairs is the idea.
Now, the location is in Nescopeck, but you're in a former lumber mill, aren't you?
Correct. Yes. Yes, the Noggle Lumber Yard is what people used to know it. And so a local businessman by the name of Marty Koch was one who owned it at the time. And then he donated the building, and that was in 2011.
So what got you interested in going into the nonprofit realm?
Well, a lot of it was the influence of my dad. He was a minister in Nescopeck for about 20 years. He passed away in 2019, but he was the one that founded it with a bunch of other people who were crazy enough to do it with him. Yeah, the original inspiration in that, you know, nonprofit space kind of came out of that. And then after he passed away in 2019, that was obviously a weird time. Anybody who's lost a loved one knows the kind of the strangeness of grief and things like that. So for a little while, kind of stayed away because it was, you know, just odd and weird to go in the building where we'd done so much work together and everything, and didn't volunteer as much. I wasn't on the board at the time. And then about 2 years ago, Tangi, who answers our phones, she's our one employee. She's a real sweetheart. And I was at the Hope Center. I was, you know, just visiting, maybe dropping something off. I don't remember. And then she was the one that basically talked me into coming back a little sooner than I would have thought. It was a great conversation with her. Then so I came back and I approached the board at the time and just said, hey, would you mind, you know, terribly if I just, you know, had a role on the board or was just, you know, here. And now after a couple of years and just a few changes, some people retiring that had been there for a long time, then they decided to make me the president, which is still getting used to. And so, but I've been involved in the Hope Center since it started as a teenager, just working with my dad and all the many, many volunteers that have been there over the years.
Your dad would have been extraordinarily proud of what you've done with the lumber yard. You have divided it up into different types of things that people can go in as far as what they need. Mm-hmm. So tell us about what we can expect if we happen to go to the pantry.
The pantry actually now is once you register and you get signed up and you come in, during COVID, all the operations moved outside. So it used to be this indoor thing. You would kind of come in and shop and get what you needed and go. But now you kind of get this kit and you drive up in your car and they slide it down a little ramp. And since the pandemic, they found out it was a much smoother process to do it that way. So they kept it. And so if you were to come for the pantry, register and then drive up and then a little box comes down a conveyor and then some nice folks hand it to you. Say you were to come to get clothing, there's several open hours throughout the week. You walk in the doors and then you sign your name and grab a bag, and if anything fits you, you know, you can grab that too. That's the main two things you would to actually come into the building would either be the food pantry or the clothing ministry.
Now, it's called Doreen's Closet, right?
Correct.
Who is it named for?
So the gentleman that gifted us the building, Marty, his wife's name was Doreen. And one of the stipulations was, would you mind terribly naming this after my wife? So not even himself, so which kind of shows he's a great guy, very good gentleman.
You're doing something else, too, to help those who might be incapacitated for a little while. You are also setting a section of your space for crutches and wheelchairs and walkers.
Mm-hmm. And even hospital beds.
Really?
So
wow.
We've got, that's where the majority of our warehouse space, I'd say about maybe a third or half of what's in there is a lot of medical supplies. And it's, again, it's whatever we have donated, we'll give away if you're in need of it. So usually for the medical equipment, you'd just call ahead of time and say, hey, I need a walker and a potty chair and a hospital bed. And then we fill it out, we take your name, then you just come and pick it up. And then it's, you know, and the medical ministry and every other ministry, it's all completely free.
That is incredible. Now, you were telling me about how you have organized the entirety of this building for it to be somewhat of a shelter in case of an emergency.
Yeah, and that was really the original idea for the Hope Center, you know, looking at this building and talking to all these people, was if something like the flood that happened in 2011 were to happen again, then you could temporarily house a small number of people, or if it was even just a place somebody needed a hot shower and could, you know, come in, and obviously lots of resources there. But say you were kind of displaced, the Hope Center is not in the flood zone. So it would be a good landing spot for then also if somebody like, say, the Red Cross or Samaritan's Purse needed a home base, say. They could set up their trucks and their equipment and use the facility and then just make it a hub for disaster relief.
Have you ever had to use it for disaster relief at all?
Not yet, no. This addition, it's kind of built inside of our warehouse. It's a strange-looking setup, but it makes sense once you get inside of it. There's going to be handicap-accessible restrooms and showers there, but we haven't had to use it for anything like that yet, and we actually haven't been able to. The bathrooms are almost done. We're looking for funding to get next for building the kitchen.
You know, as a nonprofit organization, people are always looking for creative ways to fundraise. Mm-hmm. So what does the Hope Mission do to creatively fundraise or appeal to the people of Neskapeq or in and around the Berwick area? What kind of fundraising methods do you use?
We have like a chicken barbecue that we do every year. We've done soup sales. We've done baked goods. We even hosted a yard sale a few times. Lots of little creative things like that. And then we do our best to solicit a little bit of grant funding too, things for nonprofits. What we're hoping to do is create a little bit of a partnership with the community, if you will, kind of like you guys do your membership drives, which I've listened to a lot of over the years. What we're hoping for is if people want to, they could sign up for something like sustained monthly giving. So that way it's not just like this, you know, you come to a fundraiser and you might give a little money here or there. It's just sort of this constant investment that you get, you know, every month, like, oh, there goes my donation again. And then it's this constant reminder and then sending updates to anybody that would be a recurring giver. And, you know, we're hoping to put out something like a bit of a newsletter, maybe. And then the idea is people would sign up either monthly or just maybe once a year they want to give, but a little bit more of a sustained giving, that it doesn't seem so disconnected and it feels like they're really more of a part of something.
Exactly. And it keeps the mission in their mind. And every time they see that donation, they say it's going to a good cause. People enjoy that opportunity to be able to help. If they can't help physically, they enjoy that opportunity to help in ways that are maybe monetary or maybe through some of the donations that you receive. Tell me what you see in as far as the people coming in. You're taking the stance now where your father was. You're now taking the helm. So what do you see that your father didn't see?
That's a great question. In a lot of ways, I look a lot like him, which freaks people out sometimes. And he and I were very similar in a lot of ways. Other than the monthly giving and kind of setting that up, he had such a great vision for the place that I haven't thought of anything really much to tweak it, honestly. Where we're at right now is kind of picking up where he left off, even though he passed away 7 years ago now. And he was really the heart and soul of the place. So when all that construction and everything slowed down, you know, the board did a fantastic job just keeping everything running as best they could, but we really lost our leader, you know, for a while. So now that we're kind of in this stage where we're at, where, you know, I'm talking to you on the radio, that's really cool, and we're getting different types of funding and things like that, it just feels like we're starting back off kind of right where he left it and just adding a little bit more speed and a little bit more chutzpah, as it will, and putting that back into it. So I see it as like a kind of a beautiful continuation more than anything.
And, I think so. And it's also got your thumbprint on it this time.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, the video aspect of some of the stuff that we did. Anybody who knows me, I'm a little bit of a ham. So I've made a couple of videos for the Hope Center and we, you know, posted them online and they've got a good reception. So it's kind of got a little bit of my my humor to it too, which is nice.
You were telling me earlier that when your father passed away, it was very difficult for you to go into the center. You stayed away for about 7 years. How does it feel going in on a daily basis, knowing that you're helping so many people?
It feels great, honestly. I did pause for a little bit after he passed. I would say he passed in 2019, so I probably got back in there about 2024, really like on the board and getting more involved. I would, you know, go to help from time to time, but it was difficult just to sort of become a part of it. It felt sort of odd and, you know, awkward, which, you know, anybody who's experienced grief could tell you there's just a lot of weirdness about it. now that all that's settled enough in my head, it's been really impactful to go in and help and just to see the kind of the fruits of all these wonderful volunteers' labor.
You know, you talked about your father's ambition and how he sort of laid the groundwork, but now you have an opportunity to continue the path. Mm-hmm. So do you have any ideas or kind of new things that you would like to see happen to the mission?
The kitchen would really help because, you know, any house isn't really a home unless you have a kitchen. The idea would be, you know, something to add, like maybe a recurring soup kitchen, and we could also just share meals with the community. We want it to be the kind of place where not just this warehouse where you just show up and you get something and you leave, but you get this opportunity to just really sit and minister with either the people that come in and are in need of something or the people that are volunteering, because there's a lot of volunteers that I don't get to sit and talk with a lot. And so the idea would just be that, what do you need? I don't know, let's just go to the Hope Center. And it would just sort of be the first thought in people's mind when they would need something, but also not just stuff. It would essentially be this little heart of the community, and that it wouldn't just be a warehouse.
If someone comes to you and they are going through a really bad time, they're picking up more than pots and pans and clothing. Mm-hmm. What else are they getting?
Well, any volunteer that's in there, we have little signs up that are around. And if you need prayer, any volunteer can do that with you. And anybody can just sit and talk if that's all you want. You know, if prayer kind of weirds you out, you know, just a conversation. There's a lot of people that, you know, either it's elderly people or, you know, young moms or small kids. There's just a lot of people that don't get that kind of human connection. That's one of the biggest things we've really been trying to hit home, is just that connection with people.
If you had to stand back and take a look at the operation as it is, what would you say is probably the most outstanding character of your mission?
Honestly, it's just the people. The character is just sort of in the volunteers that come in there every day. There was a woman that was a home health aide, and she was coming in, and she would partner with us if any of her clients needed anything that insurance couldn't really do. She would help fill in the gaps and come to us for stuff. And she was just so touched by the way, you know, she met with Tangi and worked with us, that she was, turns out, this Dynamo Bingo fundraiser. And so she said to us, you know, like, you know, I love everything that you guys do. Like, may I run a bingo as a fundraiser for you guys? And we said, absolutely, you may. And, you know, and she volunteers with us a little bit too. So just, you know, people like that, I'd say that's the most outstanding thing, is that you can come in and make that connection with somebody. And we hope that's evident every time somebody walks in.
It also sounds to me like the rhythm of your nonprofit is not just having people coming in, but you going out a little bit more into the community and mm-hmm. reaching them in different ways.
Yeah. Really, the only ministry we have that kind of goes out of the Hope Center, because a lot of people come to us, but the one that does go out is the handyman ministry. That was one I actually used to do with my dad back in the day some. It was a lot of fun, because you'd go into people's homes and, you know, you'd fix the busted threshold in a door. I remember a patch in a skylight that was leaking in a guy's roof. And then that's a real great opportunity for, you know, the ministry, is just meeting people right where they're at. It's just a special connection. And then I remember that one with the skylight that we patched in particular. I remember meeting with the guy who was just, you know, really down and out, and then just being able to talk to him while we worked and then pray with him afterwards. It's one of the ones that I really enjoy doing. And I don't get to do it as much anymore. I'm, you know, very busy at work. We have two guys that came into the Hope Center and say, hey, we know this handyman ministry used to be a really great thing. Do you mind if we pick up that mantle? And we said, absolutely, we would love that. So now that's back up and running again.
When you have somebody who has been such an influence in your life, like your dad, mm-hmm. do you feel his spirit inside that place moving you forward?
All the time, yeah. No matter how long it is, it's still a very influential part of my life and just who I became as a person. Yeah, no, I miss him all the time. I still use some of his tools to do work. There's always a constant reminder of that. Just funny little things. Some of the construction inside the building, he was a part-time pastor and a part-time carpenter. So you can still go in the building and literally see his fingerprints on things, or literally see where he would scratch a note on the wall or a note for a length on a board or something like that. All the time I feel him there.
Your father had his plants and he saw them come to pass. Mm-hmm. The mantle was passed to you. So now what would you like to see for the future?
I would really like it if more ministries would come in and use the space. Part of that addition inside the warehouse, along with the kitchen, there's also several more spaces where we could put more offices. And one thing that would be kind of neat to make part of the mission would be something like a counseling center, even a satellite office for a counselor to come in there. That would be really neat to have some kind of mental health service along with that. Just in addition to helping people physically, there's a lot of things you're dealing with mentally if you're also in need. It's a tough time for a lot of things.
People are coming in for staples, but there's also something else that they're looking for too, right?
Yeah. You know, there is that obvious Christian spiritual influence there. So if people are in need and they want prayer and they need any kind of life advice or help, there's that kind of spiritual guidance as well. And even with our logo, the logo is actually changing soon. We got a guy that did a design for us where it's a dove with a little olive branch in its mouth. So if anybody who went to Sunday school remembers when Noah and the flood, 40 days, 40 nights, the earth is destroyed, and he sends out a dove. And then the dove comes back with this little olive branch in its mouth. And then that's hope that says, ah, this time is passing, this flood is over, and we can get off this boat soon. And so I kind of like the image of that dove and the logo that people might see very soon here. Whatever boat you're on or whatever storm you're in, it may be over soon, and maybe we could help with that.
Special thanks to Elliot Molesky of the Hope Center of Neskapek, serving Berwick and surrounding areas in central Pennsylvania. If you'd like more details about this nonprofit, please email hopecenterneskapek@gmail.com. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.